Good morning. It is my pleasure to greet you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm so very honored to share with my sisters and brothers in this worship experience, this virtual worship experience with the Ecclesia Church and C.J. Stevens, my new brother and friend, and to be with you at such a time as this. I'm certainly inspired by your vision of being a witness in the kingdom and a sacrament for the world's possibility and thoughtful faith and a place of love, a community of love and extraordinary generosity, and certainly inspired by your vision. And my prayer for you is that you would impact this triangle in the state and beyond in the world as you continue to lift up the bloodstained banner, you continue to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I ask for your prayers as well. I direct you today to a parable that speaks to our hearts and inspires us, and it comes out of Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, and verses 25 and following, where we find the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'll be reading from the New International Translation of the text, and you may follow along with me. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came up to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the application of his awesome word. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Dear eternal God, our heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to speak to our hearts in times like these that we live in. We search for your presence and we find it through your promises. We look to your way and we are led by thy Holy Spirit. We stand on your truth and we are delivered. Lord, show us the way. Speak to our hearts. Bless your word. And we'll be careful to give your name praise and to give your name glory. In Christ's name we pray. And God's people said, amen. It is such a joy again to gather in these moments when we live in a time of crises and challenge and the pandemic in terms of COVID-19, but also the social pandemic dealing with justice issues and overcoming history of division and racism, discrimination, and we are challenged in these times to really stand for the Lord and bear witness. We are citizens of the kingdom in terms of your vision for your community of faith and our vision at First Baptist for our community of faith. And we turn to the Word in order to give us guidance. I'm so very blessed for this invitation and Pastor Stevens to begin this relationship with me and with us as we journey through this valley locally, but also we know it's nationally and even globally. And this passage of scripture, which I've preached so many times through the years, spoke so profoundly to me in terms of ways to apply God's truth and open our hearts and our minds for a sense of liberation in this hour. You know the story so well. The story here of the lawyer who then wants to, as the text says, test the master as if he is in a position to assess who Christ is and his skill level, ability, or even his brilliance, or even his connection with religious tradition. And so then he poses this question about how then he can inherit eternal life. It's a good question. It's a relevant question for a young person seeking to chart out his career and being nurtured in his own faith tradition. And so he asked a question, and Jesus then responds from Deuteronomy passages and one in Leviticus and said, well, you just simply love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and even with your mind, that brilliant mind of yours. If you simply do that, then you should be fine. And then he responds and he says, well, don't you know I've already done that? I try to do that. And Jesus said, well, you've answered correctly. And if you simply follow this command from old, you will live. You should live and you will be well. But then the text says, in order to justify himself, that he was looking out for his own image or his own sense of validation. And so he wanted to, of course, argue around and above the master in this occasion, we would assume. And in that passage, as it talks about loving your neighbor as yourself, within, he raises a question within, who, Rabbi, is my neighbor? And then Jesus responds with this awesome parable that hits home in so many ways. And it says, a certain man, does not mention a name, but a certain person was then traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, was assaulted and attacked by robbers and thieves and beaten and stripped of his clothing and left for dead. And then they go away, and as the man is there in his plight, in his circumstance, then a priest comes by representing the higher order of the religious order and Jewish life. And so a priest comes and he passes on by the other side. He notes that there is someone in need, but he moves on about his business. And we don't know what that means completely, but we know perhaps that there was danger in the air. This was known as the blood pass, and many people were attacked as they tried to go from one place to another, and that is Jerusalem to Jericho. It could have been for his own security and safety. It also could have been because of his intent to certainly keep to his obligations. Maybe folk were waiting on him where he was going. Nonetheless, we see a picture of a person who represents God to the historic religious tradition and is unable to then minister to someone who obviously is in a terrible situation, and he moves on. And then Jesus tells in the parable, then following him, a Levite comes. Maybe that's a person who is a worship leader or someone who definitely is connected with the temple or the synagogue. And that person also represents the religious life, the community of faith, the relevant, I trust, to the lawyer, and certainly in that context. And so something else happens with this individual. He actually you know, looks at the person and sees him and decides then also to pass by on the other side and to move about his business. And then the third person who comes, of course, is a Samaritan, one who is hated by the Jewish tradition and culture because of their intermarriage and history, and yet they hold to the word about Abraham, but they are disregarded simply because of their history with the northern kingdom. And so as a result, this person then demonstrates what the parable really is essentially about, and that is compassion. And so he sees the individual and he actually views his condition. He processes his need. He enters the risky and dangerous situation. And then he takes the resources that he has with his own hands. He stops and then he sees the man, but he also has a sense of care for him. And the word is pity on him. He even bandages his wounds. He pours on oil or some kind of a medical solution to his hurt and pain, oil and wine. And then he actually puts this broken human being on his own donkey. And then he brings him to the inn, where he obviously probably has a relationship, where he's traveled perhaps again and again. And so he reaches into his own financial resources and he pays for this a victim then to stay at the inn. And then he speaks to the innkeeper and says, be sure you look out after him. I must go on about my business. I'll be back, and whatever the cost of his stay or any other needs that he has, then I will take care of those financially when I return. And so then Jesus, after telling this beautiful, powerful parable, then he asked the lawyer within, out of that scenario, which one of these players do you think was a neighbor in obedience to the law that you quoted to the one who fell among thieves? And of course he answered, the expert then answers directly, and he says, but well, of course, it's the one who had shown mercy. Where mercy was applied, then that is the one who really models what it means to care for your neighbor. And then Jesus says to him, well, then go, and I want you to do exactly the same thing. And that really is a thought today, that perhaps we should go and do likewise. The man who fell as victim was not named, and so it presents to us the notion that it doesn't matter who he was, about his race or his culture, his heritage, his class. None of that seemed to be the point of the parable, but rather a certain man was in need, and as a result of that, within compassion need to be applied to the circumstance and to the situation. And how that brings challenge to our nation today and to our churches today and in our own lives today, that what do we really do about the other? The other that we're so quick to judge or to label or to stigmatize or to dismiss or to ignore. And the other in this story was a valuable human life that had dignity and purpose and meaning. And as a result, there needed to be some kind of intervention to do something about it and to bring resources to bear that the man in his circumstance did not have. And so we think about how many people must be the other in our society. And it looks like with all the division and all of the name calling and so much that is happening in our country today, in our society today, that we've created multiple others who to us have no meaning. They're not like us. They're different from us. So therefore, their lives are devalued. And the beauty of Jesus is that he knew nothing about that, and always reach beyond the boundaries and the divisions in his own time when he was rabbi and teaching. And he then was talking about the coming and the arrival of the kingdom of God, that what was important was that women had value and brains and intellect, and people who were different had freedom to worship in their own way, and they also then can carry out their own vision for their own life. And then also that the bottom line of all that the kingdom means is a love, an agape love that comes from God the Father. And what a model the Samaritan is, man. But what a greater model our Savior is and Jesus is in terms of breaking down these walls that divide us. And in this time, you know, searching for a word, I've never walked this path before, being a child of the 60s and living through much of that time and the riots and living in Southern California and Los Angeles and going through so much drama with the Los Angeles Police Department and the community and police brutality and all the things that took place in the community and fighting for civil rights. Been a child of the 60s, looking for assimilation and inclusion and jobs and opportunities to share in my own community and from my own heritage. But never have we been through a time like this. And as the Lord speaks to Joshua, and when Joshua succeeded Moses and took on the task of leading God's people into the promised land, the word was, you've not been this way before. Tell the people they've not been this way before. So they have to follow the lead of Yahweh. They have to follow God's lead now. And I've been hard-pressed seeking the Lord in terms of resources in his word, in terms of, Lord, what's the word for the hour? What do we say now? And this is not about inclusion and the sharing of resources and opportunity. This movement has emerged now in the country and all around the globe about changing the systems in our nation and systemic evils and the impact of that for centuries that have been laid and put in place and what that means. But knowing also that the better way, the best way, and as the Apostle Paul says, the most excellent way in 1 Corinthians 12 is the way of love. It's still agape love. And I go to one of my mentors, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and in that book he wrote, Strength to Love, that becomes such a ministry to my spirit, because I know that we are called to follow in the way of Jesus Christ. And we can identify and protest, and we can stand up for rights and fight for justice and policy changes. But whatever we do, we still do in the spirit of Christ. And we still do in the spirit of love and what that love really means. And we're still concerned, as the Master is, about the other, that certain person that now is a victim and now needs help. And so then we see the reflection of those who represent the faith of the day. And we don't know all the reasons that they walk by, but we've noted some of those possibilities. But the story implies that they didn't have enough of whatever it took to intercede and to be those who God would use in the circumstances. And I pray that we would, that I would be one that can be used by the Lord, and our churches will be used by the Lord in these times to stand up for what is true, to stand up for what is just, to stand up for what is right, to stand up for the model of the Lord of the kingdom and what that means for us. The kingdom has already arrived. It's in us, Jesus said. But now we are expanding that kingdom right in our context, right now, right today, because we know that there are victims. We know that there has been evil. We know that people are suffering. We know that hate divides. We know that violence for no good reason is not the order of the day of the kingdom of God. And we know that we have the keys of the kingdom and the power to simply stand on the Lord, the Lord's promises and truth. And so the Old Testament prophets have become a resource, and the Gospels about my Master and our Lord has become a resource to then be engaged. And what this story is about really is a sense of engagement, and not just spectating on the sideline, but engagement. And it's easy to talk about them and those and what they're doing, and we can't do everything, we can't help everybody, but certainly as people of faith and as disciples of Christ, disciples of the risen Lord, we can do something. And we're called upon, now we're forced to come out of our houses, even in a time where we ought to stay in our houses for our protection, but we're forced to step out of our comfort zones in order to be about what God is doing in the society. And that's what the Samaritan did. And then utilized his own hands his own resources in order to then turn about this circumstance and turn about this situation so that then this victim could have a life of peace and have a future and have a place in society that is safe for him. And what a marvelous story that is indeed. And so we see here what is demonstrated, and that is agape love is demonstrated. And we see that this really is a story about demonstration. And the scripture says that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord died for us and rose again the third day. And as a result, we have new life and we have transformed realities, not only for us, but also for our society. And that's the word that we preach, and that's the word that we lift up. And this word is about mission in so many ways. And so then to go to the nth degree to care for the one in need and to risk and to sacrifice even his own health and well-being in order to care for another human being is such a model. And don't you know many people are doing that every single day in the ICU units, emergency workers, people who are bearing the loads of those who are sick, people who are entering in with mourning families and ministering to their needs, people who are watching children, people who are then making decisions and risking their own health in order to care for the public in a larger degree and do whatever needs to be done about schools and hospitals and universities and whatever, and the list goes on and on, and people who are seeking safe places, and the safest place is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a story about mission in so many ways. And then we note the end of that as that parable is told and brings the reality home to this expert in the law. And then Jesus said, now, what do you have to respond to that? And he says, well, obviously, the one who showed caring for neighbor is the one who showed mercy. And that's what we need today is mercy. We need God's mercy in dealing with our condition and why we are reaping what we've sown in this nation. We need mercy, but also we need the power of the Spirit of God and the risen Christ to then be engaged disciples and to do something about the conditions and to take our stand for what is true and what is just and to care for those in need. And I noted that what is interesting about the story is that it only deals with the condition of the Jericho Road. And it deals with the reality of mission engagement, and it deals with applied agape love, and all these things are so critical, but it says nothing about changing the Jericho Road. And that just reminded me that these young people across the nation and across the globe, they're not asking what I asked as a child of the 60s. I just wanted to go to a school. I wanted to live in the neighborhood. I wanted to have resources. I just wanted to get a job. And I just wanted those resources, and we felt like fighting against segregation and being integrated into the larger culture was victory, and it was, and it has been. But now there's a movement to change the whole system. So what they're saying is, let's then give our attention to the Jericho Road. Let's change it so that no traveler will be robbed again. There will be no more victims. And isn't that a word for today? And then Jesus said to the Samaritan story recipient, parable recipient, that is the lawyer, the expert, now go and do likewise. And I hear God saying that to us today, to you, and he says that to me, go and do likewise. May the Lord bless you in a special way. Thank you so much.